Woohoo! This is the fun part for me. You're in for it, yeah. So, hey, if you're just joining us today, we just finished the book of Acts. You know, it was quite a journey. I've been praying for some time. Okay, Lord, what is it that you want us to do next? A couple really good things came out of Acts, and one of those things that we saw is the way that it ended. If you've read through the book of Acts, you notice the way it ended? It's not very Hollywood, right? It doesn't make, like, for a really good movie. As a matter of fact, when they wrote a movie about that, they added the other stuff to it that they found out from extra-biblical sources, because basically, it's just Paul is imprisoned, and he's loving people and telling them the gospel. Cue end credits, right? Music. That's how it ended. Well, really what most believers have grabbed onto is this Acts of the disciples, of the apostles, is handed on to you and I. And what we see after this is letters that Paul is writing to early Christians. And so where to pick up here as I'm praying, what I want to present to you I'm excited about, because this is something, first, my wife, she was really studying this, and it came to life for her. And she shared it with me. And I began studying this, and I found it so profound that we actually went through a class here at the church about this. But I think it's so important, because basically what I'm asking you to do, guys, is the point is not that I would get better and smarter so that more people would want to come and hear me speak as the pastor. But that's a tendency, right? That pastor's great. Or that worship leader, amazing. And so we all come and vicariously just like suck the Holy Spirit out of them, and somehow we're improved. And that's just not the way it works in the Bible, because this gospel, although Paul is a huge figure, Peter is a huge figure, there's so many figures that we just encountered through the book of Acts. And then they pass this message, this good news, to you and I now to share with everyone. And how's that going? Yeah, right. Better when you get it yourself, okay? That's what we're working on a lot here. We need to understand, experience, believe the gospel to be able to share it and live it, right? Well, there's something that Paul talks about, and it's this, the body of Christ. Have you heard of that? Okay. What's the body of Christ? Somebody? You and me? Okay, yeah. What else you want to say about body of Christ? What's that? Believers, okay. What else? The church, okay. How does that work, though? What's that? How does the body of Christ work? Everybody has their abilities, and they work together for the things that do best. I don't want to take the time to do that, but if I had somebody come up with their feet and draw a picture of a flower, it may or may not look like a flower, depending on how much they've practiced that and how much hand feet they have, right? As opposed to someone else who came up with their hand, which you used to draw, would draw a flower. It would look a whole lot more like a flower, right? Is that person's foot broken or not right in any way because it can't draw a flower with it? Not at all. And so this is the illustration. If we're going to be collectively passed on this gospel, this good news, to share with the world, we each have a part to play. We each have a part to play. I'm not just making this up. Let me show you scripturally. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink one Spirit. So, verse 3. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of it. That's like a verbal dance, right? But basically what's happening is understand this. And this is what's really important. We can't jump ahead. This is not an exercise. Your gifts, your spiritual gifts, your ministry, your ability is not an exercise of your own will. It's not something you force yourself to do. It's very clear. What brings us together, guys, even though we're so different, it's this one Spirit that brings us together. And that one Spirit would be Holy Spirit, right? So, okay. So we're laying some foundation, some groundwork here. What I want you to understand is we're continuing on where we left off in Acts. Because what happened is the Holy Spirit was given to these believers, and at the beginning it empowered them to do a lot of miraculous signs and wonders. But it did more than that. It helped them be brave in the face of fear, right? It helped them to love, to teach, to sustain. It did all the things that the Holy Spirit can do. And that hasn't changed for you and I. If we're believers and if we receive the Holy Spirit, right? Then he empowers us, he counsels us, he comforts us, he leads us into all truth, right? He does all of these things. It's God with us, present in us every day. And so this continues on. Now that we've finished with Acts, what I want to talk to you about, guys, is this: spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. And we're going to take a few weeks to do this because I think it's really important. Because here's what I found in my experience in talking with people. In our culture, we have value systems, right? Would the culture say that someone who's extroverted is looked on more positively than someone that's introverted? Right? All right. I was reading through the Old Testament, and it's kind of funny. In Nehemiah, it put the singers of songs and the musicians like in the slave category. But in America, they're kings. Right? If you're musically talented, is that better than not being able to carry a tune? Right? This is celebrated, this not so much. If you're really good at quiet time and being alone, they don't throw parades for you in America. Right? Most kids don't want to become an accountant when they grow up. They want to be a rock star, an astronaut, a football player. Right? There are certain things, our value system is all squirrely and messed up. Sorry if you wanted to be an accountant when you were young. I love accounting. I took a bunch of it, okay? And I'm not trying to hate on you. But understand, there are certain things that we value. Have you taken a spiritual gifts test? Have you taken a personality profile? Right? These can be helpful. Did you enjoy it? Was it helpful? Maybe, maybe not. Now, what happens with these things is they try to measure what you're doing. Right? What do you do? What do I do? What do I like to do? And with that, if we're not careful, it becomes a limiting bubble in which we operate. Well, I'm this type of way. I'm an IEB, whatever, right? I'm this color or this animal or whatever test that they put you through. Although those things can be helpful, what I want to present to you is this. I believe very strongly, and I've gotten this from a lot of different resources and a lot of prayer, but my wife and I, we really enjoyed, this is the book we use for our study, and it's called Free to Be You. It's by Elizabeth and Sylvia Gunter. And so what we're going to go through is the seven motivational gifts. Seven. Interesting number, right? Have you guys seen that seven before? What do we know about seven? It's the word's complete, right? And so our God is all of these things. A complete and full person can operate in and out of all of these seven gifts. And these gifts, we didn't make up. An author of a book didn't make those up. These are right out of Romans 12. And so what I'm excited about is to start somewhere. What I want to present to you is a look at spiritual gifts where we can begin to understand not what you do, but who you are and why you do what you do. Because if I say, why don't you guys all get together, work together as the body, and take the gospel into the world, run the church, affect the society, but you have no idea who you are. Because here's the problem. Anyone who's taught from a professional standpoint, who's been a teacher, right? Or taught in the church, right? Okay, so we've got some teachers here. Well, just because that's what you do, that might not be your primary motivation for doing it. because we have teachers that come at it from a lot of different perspectives and points. Okay, you bored yet? It's not exciting. I'm not throwing chocolate syrup or caramel or peanut butter. But check this out. Romans 12. Romans 12. Verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Okay, there's the scripture. Now, I want a little help here. Who's got a good back who can be a bulletin board for me and hold up a post-it? Cal? Okay, man. Cal, you can give me a hand here. So why don't you like hop up on the stage there and just kind of stand in the middle near that water bottle there. Okay, so teachers, you guys might like this. I'm using large post-it notes here to help illustrate this. Okay, so here's what we're beginning with. Romans 12. I've assigned words to these. These are in no way holy, just based on what we see in the scripture. So what it's saying is, understand, we're all a body. We're working together. And by God's grace, in his power, he has created in us the gift, the charisma, right? Charisma, which is like we get charisma from. But this is, at a core level, the motivation. It is what makes you tick, basically. It's how you see the world. So next slide I have for you is motivational gifts. Romans 12 is what we call motivational gifts. So these are all given not because this is something you necessarily learned. This is the power of God in his grace and his all-knowing and all-powerful him, right? He created us with a primary motivation and a primary lens through which we see the world. So these are not about, because you see the word teacher here, and you want to jump right to, this is what I do, I'm a teacher. Let's stop. I need you guys to kind of like throw out all the other personality. So, or you can put them in a box, you might need them later. You can take it out, put it in a box for later. But what I want you to do is I'd like to present these ideas to you. They've listed seven. These are not as much about what you do, but they're more about why we do what we do. Does the difference make sense? Okay. So the seven here, we're going to work with prophet, servant, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, or leader. That becomes less offensive to people, I think. And mercy. So these are not as much about who you are, but what you do. There are people who act as teachers from pretty much all of these gifts. It doesn't make them a teacher. In role it might, but it doesn't make that their motivation. See, this is how we interpret the world and how we respond. And so I want to unpack these a little bit more, but I want you to see this. There's a beautiful blend of the way that these work. Okay. Second, I'm going to give you another scripture. This is another scripture that talks about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, once again, the Spirit is the one that distributes them. The same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. I love how they keep bringing that back to the Spirit. Guys, these are not things you can take pride in that you do. If these things are given to you, it's all by the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I need another volunteer. If you get tired at all, man, you can like sit down or whatever and I'll let you know. Can I get another volunteer? Okay, Natalia. Okay. So you want to go ahead and get up. Let's find a spot for you somewhere. Maybe here. So now 1 Corinthians, the first part, 4 through 11. Yes, we're calling these manifestation gifts. And some of you come from theological backgrounds that may or may not believe certain gifts are operating or certain offices. But I'm giving it to you right from the scripture what it says, okay? And this is where we're starting, okay? We're talking starting points. We need to reset because what we keep doing, what we did 20 years ago, nothing wrong with what we did 20 years ago. I don't mean to dog on that. But I believe God has a fresh thing going. He's always got fresh things going. He hasn't changed, but he's lighting a new fire in us. And instead of going to the church where impressive people impress you, we are the church. And whether this church is awful or awesome, it's really less about me and more about you. Sorry, it really is, right? Like, you don't talk to people when they come in to visit. They're never going to come back. You know? Like, if you were part of a family where one person was great and everyone else was awful to you, you would not show up to Christmas, right? We're a family. So this is manifestation. Check this out. This is the result of the work or the impartation of the Holy Spirit. These things are momentary. This is not your motivation. These are the things when God wants you to do this, you do that. You see this right here. Utterance of wisdom. Utterance of knowledge. Faith. Healing. Works of miracles. Prophecy. Distinguishing between spirits. Various kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Any of you guys experienced any of those at time? Okay. So this is Will's belief as I'm praying about this. I think this is where we get confused. We like want a jersey with this on it. Does that make sense? I'm the utterance of wisdom guy. Okay? I'm the speaking in tongues guy. This is where we get in trouble, right? Because you see, and how many people have seen these done in a really weird way that made you uncomfortable? Okay? And have anyone experienced where someone tried to do this and you're like, that's not, doesn't feel right, it's not true. Okay. Guys, we're imperfect, but we got to go back to the scripture and start fresh. So understand, this is your jersey. Okay? This is not your jersey. But this is awesome because what happens is the Holy Spirit gives this to you. This is not something that you were born with. You didn't just automatically get all of these things. When it talks about pursuing the gifts, it isn't this. It isn't, I want to be a mercy motivation. You're not a mercy motivation, but you can have mercy. Okay? But this is the things you pursue. God, help me. I need faith right now when I don't have it. Right? Someone's coming to me for advice. Like, I need your wisdom. I need all these things to come. I need these things right now. Please give them to me. So these are the gifts that we're pursuing, but not gifts that are automatically given to you as a tool in your tool belt. Okay, that being said, let's say healing. Healing's a good example. I've prayed and I've seen God do some healing stuff. And what happened because of that, my faith grew, and now I pray more for people to get healed. So it's very possible I could see healing more often than Will 10 years ago where it was like, okay, God, please help the doctors heal him. Right? You guys tracking with me on that? Where we used to not have faith, we could be part of this. Once God uses us, once he manifests in us for these things, it can be more of a characteristic of our life because you're willing to do this. So he'll use you more, right? Okay, so that's the second piece. So any number of these gifts can be operating in the believer at any given time, but it's not them. It's given through the Spirit by God, okay? And then God determines when and when you'll get these gifts. I mean, sometimes, right, God's given you this prophecy, this interpretation of things that no one else is seeing, and then the next day it's quiet, right? And you wish you could do that. And the tendency that I see in believers is like, once I did this once, I just want it to be my jersey and I want to use it every day. And we don't need you to do that as the body. Because maybe today it's someone else is going to get that. Does that make sense? We hurt one another, and so what we've done is we've actually crushed this up in most church circles, and we've taken the power out of our ministry of the gospel. Because now God doesn't heal, he uses doctors. Tongues, that's weird, we don't do that, right? Oh, you know, prophecy, no, that's over. All these things, we've thrown it away because we've misunderstood. So I hope we can understand more. Not that I have perfect understanding, but we're moving in the right direction. So join me, guys, on this foundation of it, okay? If we continue on in 1 Corinthians 12, and think about this. The context of all of these so far are to Gentile believers, which is us and I'm assuming most of us in the room, you know. Second part of Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And see, most time we stop there, but we can't stop there because if we're going to start talking about this, guys, we've got to heed to this next warning. Chapter 12 ends like this. And yet, I will show you a more excellent way. This is a more excellent way than the prophecy, than the healing, than all these gifts of the Spirit. This is the more excellent way. He goes on to say in chapter 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So we'll rewind a little bit. I need another volunteer. I wanted to give you that warning, guys. As you begin to walk in your gifts and explore this, you've got to understand, being right is not nearly as important as being loving, right? If you look at this, when you, and I'm not saying loving, permitting everything. You're going to stand for something instead of just be against everything, okay? You're going to stand for something, but in that, we're going to love rather than being a resounding clang, right? So I need another volunteer. So the second part of, we got a volunteer, anyone? Oh, Greta! Hey, come on up this way, we'll have you. Like I said, if you guys get tired, you can put it down and then I'll ask you when I'm trying to point it out. Do you want to stand up here? Got it, okay. Okay, Miss Greta, what we have here, these are ministry gifts. Now the way that I understand that, you see, within the church, within the body, these are things that as God is, through the Spirit, manifesting these gifts in us, if he's doing this on a frequent enough basis, he can be calling us into ministries. Okay? Now, over here is where we get into a little bit more controversy about what, you know, ministries and offices, whether those still exist. And so I'm not here to really tackle that as much as I'm just showing you the scriptural basis for the gifts. But he says very clearly, not everyone's going to do all of these things. Okay? So, ministry, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Okay? So, gifts of healing. That's sort of what I alluded to before. I'm not to judge anyone who does that. Maybe they have a tent and they do this. That's not for me to judge. But what I'm saying is what you see is as God is giving you, through his grace, a manifestation of his Holy Spirit and empowering you to do something, and you're faithful in that, he may ask you to do that on a repeated basis, and it might become a ministry. And so there's people in here who have prayed for people, who have seen God come to work, and they're like, every time I see someone, I want to pray for them to be healed. Which, do it! Why not, right? If God has asked you to do it, do it. But it's not your jersey, right? It's not your jersey. You're not a healer. It's not on here. I have a ministry of healing because I have faith that God will heal and I'm willing to pray. Where everyone else is like, oh, Tuesday, your surgery? Yeah, I'll write it down on my calendar. And they don't, right? But the person who has a ministry of healing would be like, oh, man, I got to pray for, you know, can we come around her and like all of us just put our hands on her and plead with God to take this away? You see the difference there? But it's not like, call Will. He's got the healer jersey. Have him come over. No. Will is willing to pray. Okay, I think we're together, guys. We're still moving. Now let's see if I can. Now let me get one more volunteer for Ephesians 4 here. Jaden. I don't know, maybe we'll have you come, yeah, over here. If you can come around, man, if you want up there. So another section of scripture that's talking about the gifts in terms of the body is Ephesians 4. And I'm going to read this to you, Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, I would term these. So these two, there's kind of a similarity. We have ministry gifts, right? And then some people were called to what the church is known as the offices, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. And we can see this when we look at scripture, people, the apostles, the ones that were sent, right? The sent ones, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. So you begin to see this is kind of odd, like let me let you behind the curtain here. My primary motivational gift is exhorter, okay? I'm very confident that's kind of how God has given me lenses to see the world. And so everything I do, I look at it in terms of an exhorter. And we'll unpack that in the following week. So if you're going to miss it, listen online because we're going to take each gift. And it might actually, you know, lead us to going through it together in another class to really dig into this a little bit more. But see, I'm an exhorter, okay? However, There's different manifestations of what. I sure hope sometimes he's given me utterance of wisdom and knowledge, right? Sometimes faith. Sometimes I've prayed and he's done something. Sometimes prophetic. Sometimes I can distinguish. I'm not great at any of these. I've never experienced interpreting tongues, anything like that. Okay, and I would say that my office, if that would be a thing, would be a shepherd. I shepherd God's people. But here is for sure my ministry. You know, I do some of these different things like a teacher, administrating. See, so it works, right? I'm like not the administrator. I'm not a teacher because it's not the lenses through which I see the world. Last thing here, and this is what can get confusing too. One more volunteer. Come on up. We're going to have you come on up here. Okay. Here, you know, you can come stand right over here, like on the end here. Now, this is easy to get confused. So Galatians 5 talks about fruit of the Spirit. And what this is, we talk about it like we want to do these things, but that focus is backwards because the fruit of the Spirit is not necessarily a gift of the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, when you're surrendered your will, your fear, your uncertainty to God, these are the things that come out of you, okay? So it's not you and your own power that becomes love or joy or peace or patience. Like, joy that you can control is just happiness, right? Things are going good, you're happy. Things are going bad, you're sad. Joy is something given to you, right? Through through the Spirit, which is alive in you, that in spite of difficulty, of sadness at times, you can still have joy. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Awesome. Look at these volunteers. Give them a hand. They're getting those. So, why is this important, Will? Well, life would be easy if it wasn't for other people, right? And I'm a people person, and I'm saying that. Isn't it true? God has created us to be relational and live together and operate together. And what I've found is it's so hard for us to even know ourselves and know those people around us. And so I really believe what I'm excited about is in the coming weeks, going through some of this, that it might help. It might help us see, because you might feel a little different. Like, you might be in a family where you're like, I just don't think they understand me the way that I see the world. And so let me explain this. What we're really going to focus on is the motivational gifts. Because from this, everything else works. I want to be all seven of these. Do you get that? But I don't start with all seven of those. Because I am an exhorter, without jumping ahead, you see, I want to encourage. I would prefer to please people and motivate them with positive feedback, right? However, if all I did was think positive and encourage people and I never confronted anything, I couldn't do all these things I'm doing. The shepherd, the pastor, the teacher. If I couldn't speak truth unapologetically at times, and I was always pleasing you, I wouldn't be any good to you. You see that? But I got to understand, when I'm looking at myself, when I'm operating through my life, I know my default, the lenses from which I see this, will be an exhorter. I don't get why you're so quiet. I don't know why you need to go take a nap, right? Because I don't. Right? It's hard for me to shut up. Quiet time is probably the hardest thing for an exhorter to do. There's all of these things. It's not an excuse for me to stay there. Because as I'm growing, I need to be alone. Now I get why you need to be alone. As a matter of fact, like, a few days talking to nobody, like, by myself sounds really good, which is weird for an exhorter. But this is God growing in me. Not that I'm shifting from this, but that the Holy Spirit is empowering me, even though I'm a teacher. At times, he's manifesting in things like prophecy, this truth. He's manifesting in faith that has me stand still when I want to do something. I'm growing because I know where I came from, and I'm allowing him to do these things in me. Does that make sense? And so where you're sitting, if you can be allowed to be who you are and start where you're at, then, and only then, is God going to be able to manifest in moments and in times and in relationships these other gifts? You don't have to be mercy. Okay, so let me let you in. I love it when people cry. I know it sounds weird, right? When they're happy crying, there's nothing better than a person who happy cries, because you know God's gotten to them. They're talking about something and they're crying, and I'm like, that's like heroic to me. Right? That's heroic to me, because what I see is what could be called mercy just growing in them. They might not be mercy. They might be mercy, but that person's crying all the time, right? They're sensitive. They might be crying all, that's an exaggeration, but they're sensitive. They're aware of things. But what I'm seeing is a person who is growing outside of the confines of their primary motivational gift. So what I'm inviting you guys is to stick in here with me. And I know this is a little different. We'll go back to another book of the Bible after this. But I want to take some time to begin to unpack these motivational gifts and speak with people who are operating from those. And the effects and the impact, in my experience, is really important, because you begin to see other people differently and celebrate who they are. Okay. Did that fall on you? Awesome. Thank you, guys. Give the volunteers a hand. Thank you. You guys can sit down now, guys and girls. Thank you. Thank you, Greta. So there's an introduction. There's an introduction. And I don't want to manipulate and surprise you, but when I see this going on in meetings with people who begin to understand the gifts, it's amazing the complements and how they work together. And you get to see that. You get to see that. In my household, you begin to see that. You see that in your own kids. You see that in your spouse. And you begin kind of, okay, because no matter what my gifts are, no matter where my strength is, if I'm not doing this, surrendered to God and his love, it's useless. No one's going to receive it. And so we have an opportunity here, guys, to go through this. So thank you for sticking with me on the introduction. I hope you can come back and be part of this discussion over the next, I don't know if it's going to be 3 to 5 weeks. So I want to close us in prayer. And then everyone will be dismissed to go throughout their week. And if you guys need prayer or you want to have any questions, I'll just stay up front here and you can come on and come talk to me, okay? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for divinely inspiring this. And it's a lot of information, so I pray that you would encourage anyone who's like, man, I need to look at that a little bit more, that they would go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and Galatians 5 and read that in context and just see that this is the design for the church. And that you would transform us through your spirit and through knowledge and education about this, Lord, that we would surrender to you. We begin to walk in our gifts and we begin to grow and respond to your calling, respond to your work, and operate more in some of the ministry gifts and manifestation gifts, and that we could minister to a world that needs this, a world that needs you, in our households that need you, in our church that needs you, and that this place would be a fellowship where we're doing the work of the gospel, not a select few that are hired, but that it would be a church of the people, the church, empowered by you, led by you, transformed by you, and that you would reach out and reach those that you love, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. It's weird without music at the end, I know. Right? So. You want us to rap or something like that?
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. I'm closer to where I started. I'm chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you. Letting go of all I've held on to. I'm standing here until you make me